Hey, everybody. Good evening. Mike Malloy here on the NovaM Radio Network. Yeah, it is Friday again. Another week older. And how's that song go? Another week older. I bet you know how to stop trying song lyrics. I just can't seem to keep them straight. What happened today? Oh, yeah, the hearing. Cindy Sheehan got bounced by Congressman Conyers. From the hearing, we'll have that little bit of sound for you. Also, there was another hearing today, too, or yesterday, in front of the House Armed Services Committee. An anti-military extremist, some freak named Elaine Donnelly, according to Brandon Friedman, provided anyone who is watching a disturbing view. Some people hold that a person's sexual orientation somehow means more than how they perform on the battlefield. And you got to hear some of this. The conversation was about trying to change Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which again, this sounds like something that you would find in middle school. Don't ask, don't tell. Instead of just understanding that some people are heterosexual, some people are homosexual, and it really doesn't mean anything beyond that, except who they have sex with. When's the last time you had sex, Truth Seeker? Oh, really? Okay, now compare that to the entire scope of your life, the last two times you've had sex, okay? What did the sex part constitute regarding your life? 0.1%? But anyway, to right-wingers, sexual orientation is something they really focus on because they have nothing better to do, I guess. 58 linguists have been kicked out of the Army who spoke Arabic. 58 were kicked out of the Army because they happen to be gay. And that's since 9/11, 2001. Anyway, one of the members of Congress is a guy named Patrick Murphy. He's an Iraq veteran. And he was the one. We have about 4 or 5 minutes of sound I'm going to play for you a little bit later tonight. Because not everything is about this phony impeachment hearing and Barack's victory tour. Although the Barack thing is really getting interesting. We also have something on that today that happened today. The right-wingers just went nuts. You know, it's another day, another round of garbage from right-wing talk radio and right-wing bloggers and right-wing pundits on talk TV and right-wing columnists regarding Senator Obama's massively successful global walkabout. And today he was in, oh, my God, France. France, uh-oh, France. You know, the right wing. What is it about right wingers that they lose their bowels when someone talks about France? Remember the little pissy juvenile Republicans and their talk radio TV enablers renaming French fries Freedom Fries? Remember that? Freedom Fries? Do y'all remember that? Good God. Freedom Fries. Hi, I'm a member of the U.S. Senate, and I'm going to say Freedom Fries from now on because the French pissed me off. What did the French do? Do you remember what the French did? What, they wouldn't go into Afghanistan? Oh, that's right. They argued against the invasion of Iraq. Now, today, the right-wing nutballs in this country, whom I hate every single one of them with a deep and abiding passion and would have no hesitation to just pound all of their asses into the ground. I really wouldn't, you know? I just wouldn't. I would have no problem just beating the bejesus out of these people. As a matter of fact, I would enjoy it. I would love it. They pissed me off that bad. But today it was Obama not visiting wounded soldiers yesterday when he was in Germany. Now, aside from the fact that Department of Defense rules and regs prohibit such a visit, we'll come back to that a little bit later. But aside from that, his campaign pointed out the obvious. If he would have visited, the right-wing screamers would have just wet themselves in accusing him of politicizing war casualties, right? Right? You know this. You know this. So he decided not to visit. He decided not to visit. Whether this was before or after his campaign was told by the Department of Defense that he couldn't visit, he decided not to visit because it would have had the net effect of drawing wounded soldiers into the right wing's net of insanity and slobbering degeneracy. So Obama made the Hobson's choice. Okay, I'm not going to go. And sure enough, true to form, the scum that poisons the airwaves in this country, the scum, leapt on that like a duck on a June bug, didn't they? And the right-wing talkers are just going absolutely insane. They're just going nuts. They're going crazy. Obama's a Nazi. Obama's Hitler. Obama wants to address the convention in, oh my God, a sports stadium. Like Hitler. Obama would destroy the country. Obama's an elitist. How long is it going to be before they state the obvious? On and on and on and on these rat bastards go, huh? Now, the smear against Obama, and I have to thank Warren Street for this from vetvoice.com, sent to us by our military affairs correspondent, but the smear against Obama, that he canceled that visit to Ramstein Air Base in Germany to visit wounded troops, was perpetrated. The whole thing was perpetrated with the help of the sump hole, the Drudge Report, overnight. They had something up. Curiously, the headline has now vanished from the Drudge Report front page. And maybe it could be because there was Pentagon interference in the cancellation. See, right away, that goddamn Barack Obama, he hates the troops. He's not American. He's not patriotic. He's not going to be commander-in-chief. He hates the troops. He didn't go. He didn't go. He went out and jogged. He went to the gym. He didn't go. He didn't go visit our fallen heroes. He didn't go. He didn't go. He didn't go. But rather than issue a retraction or a correction, this pig Drudge just takes the story off his website, at least a headline. I don't go to the Drudge Report, so I'm just relying on what people have sent me here. Rather than correct his filthy copy and say, "Oops, my bad. I hate Barack Obama, sure, and I hate Democrats, sure, and I'm a twisted little pervert, sure," but actually, it was the Department of Defense that said no. No, he wouldn't do that. So here's the story. And this is the I believe this is the truth story. I'm not sure. This is in the thing Warren Street wrote at Vet Voice. Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama scrubbed a planned visit to see wounded American servicemen and women in Germany after Pentagon objections that the stop at Landstuhl Regional Medical Center could be seen as a political event, according to Obama's campaign. Oh, okay, this is the news report. Although the Illinois senator visited troops in Afghanistan and Iraq on the first part of his overseas trip, those stops were part of an official congressional delegation, you know, with Chuck Hagel and the Democrat, and therefore deemed apolitical. The European tour, which included a speech in Berlin last night before an enthusiastic crowd of 250,000, is funded by the campaign and as such is not official government business. Retired Air Force Major General Scott Gratian, an Obama advisor, said in a statement, quote, "Senator Obama had hoped to and had every intention of visiting our troops to express his appreciation and gratitude for the service to the country. However, we learned from the Pentagon Wednesday night that the visit would be viewed instead as a campaign event. Senator Obama did not want to have a trip to see our wounded warriors perceived as a campaign event and decided not to go," end quote. Now, that's a statement from Air Force Air Force Major General Scott Gratian, who is an Obama advisor. Now, isn't that horrible? You see, if that dirty, filthy, rotten Barack Obama, who hates the troops and hates America and would rather win a campaign than win a war, that dirty son of a bitch, ha! See what he did? See what he did? Ha! Ha! But this is the garbage, apparently, that was all over the right-wing blabosphere today, which is nothing new. But anyway, there's more to this story here. when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Pissed us off, so we voted for Republicans, a form of suicide.
Republicans suck!
Go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So the latest attack by the scum in this country, I mean the real scum, right-wing bloggers, right-wing talk show hosts, right-wing pundits, right-wing columnists, right-wing television, all of it. The smear is another one of these manufactured, kind of like attacking John Kerry's war record and so on and so forth. But as Warren Street writes at vetvoice.com, this is the price you pay for being too successful, referring to Barack Obama. Did the Pentagon bow to pressure from the Republican Party and throw a monkey wrench into the works so that the stories of his visit with wounded troops wouldn't bookmark his visit to Germany? You know, the Republicans don't want any of that. Oh, no. Don't forget what the campaign is. The campaign is to make Barack Obama appear to be just totally out of his element. And, of course, when you put Barack Obama on this side of the screen doing what Barack Obama's been doing and put John McCain on this side of the screen doing what John McCain has been doing, holy jumping Jesus, talk about somebody who's out of his element. McCain should go home, drink beer, hang out with your snake-eyed wife and get the hell out of politics, dude. You're going nowhere. You really, really aren't. But anyway, flyers for the Berlin event, the speeches, had printed on them the fact that Obama was going to visit Landstuhl Regional Medical Center. But the Obama campaign said the flyers were incorrect because the decision to cancel had been a last-minute decision. That's when they were told, no, you can't do it. If you weren't here giving these speeches as a political candidate, if you were here with Chuck Hagel, if you were here with on a congressional delegation, fine. But that's not why you're here. But the McCain campaign quickly, almost too quickly, wouldn't you think, denounced the cancellation, almost seeming to have a ready-made smear in hand. The spokesman for McCain, Robert Gibbs, said yesterday that Obama made his decision out of respect. No, I'm sorry. Not Robert Gibbs. He's not a spokesman for McCain. No. A spokesman for the Obama campaign said that Obama made his decision out of respect for the servicemen and women. But McCain's presidential campaign immediately jumped. Barack Obama is wrong. It is never inappropriate to visit our men and women in the military, said Brian Rogers, a spokesman for the Republican for McCain. That's a pretty clever for an off-the-cuff remark, right? Barack Obama's wrong. It's never inappropriate to visit our men and women in the military. If you feel clever, since the cancellation happened at the last minute. Now, what about McCain? You know, McCain is such a sour, twisted old man. What about McCain visiting the troops. Well, the problem here is that the McCain campaign was denied a visit to a military base under the same policy in April. Of course, there was no outcry or false outrage at the time from this little bastard Brian Rogers with the McCain campaign, and there was nary a peep from the right-wing killers, the little snots, the twits that infest every single smelly corner of media in this country. Not a word. But CNN had reported, with Department of Defense rules prohibiting political campaigning on military bases, it was determined that in some cases McCain could visit the installations as a senator, but could not engage in any political activity or have news media present. McCain campaign officials said they intentionally did not campaign on military property. We follow the rules, said senior McCain advisor Steve Schmidt. Now, because all three presidential candidates at the time were sitting senators back in April, Department of Defense officials have privately noted for some weeks that the whole matter of drawing the line between Senate business and campaigning is sensitive. U.S. Army official told CNN there are no pending requests from any of the campaigns to visit Army bases at that time, back in April. He noted that Obama recently visited Fayetteville, North Carolina, but did not go to Fort Bragg. Senator Hillary Clinton visited Killeen, Texas, but did not go to Fort Hood. Now, it's easy to understand McCain's campaign is disorganized and pathologically clueless when it comes to utilizing the media, but they're clearly being dishonest in this case. McCain did not go because of the rule. Obama doesn't go because of the rule. And these scummy bastards act as though McCain has disrespected the troops. You see how this works, truth seekers? These filthy pig Republicans don't have anything. Nothing. Nothing. They've got to try to convince the American public to have four more years of the garbage we've had under Bush. So this is how they're going to try to do it.
So
Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
25 before the hour. You know, McCain has been talking as though he knows what's going on in Iraq. He knows about the surge. Everything that's come out of his mouth has been garbled to a much stranger in a much stranger way than the garbage that comes out of George Bush's mouth. There's something about Republicans that when you listen to them, especially after they're a certain age, where they be Republican politicians, where they begin to sound, it just starts to sound like gibberish, like from a parallel universe, some dark hole somewhere in out in outer space. It's just unbelievable. Well, McCain has been acting as though he knows Maliki, the prime minister of Iraq, our puppet over there. Let me just give it to you here. I think this is from Think Progress. After Maliki's declaration of support for a 16-month withdrawal timeline from Iraq, that was Barack Obama's plan. And if you remember, when Obama was in Iraq and Baghdad, he had the meeting with Maliki, and when they came out, Maliki was almost endorsed him for president.
Well, we're not going to have any of that, you know.
So McCain has been struggling to respond. What's he going to come up with? McCain said 100 years. Maliki said 16 months. Obama said 16 months. McCain says 100 years. So how's he going to respond? So he spent most of this week just past here railing against any artificial timetable, his words, for withdrawal from Iraq. And he keeps insisting. The psychopathic, twisted, married to a beer heiress with snake eyes, jerk is insisting that the United States will withdraw only with victory. Only with victory. Like we did in Vietnam? Like we did in Korea? What kind of victory are you talking about? Eh, John? Yo, McCain. With victory. Anyway, on July 24th, who was that, 2 days ago? Yesterday? Yesterday. McCain said, Barack Obama has showed my friends a remarkable failure to understand the facts on the ground by continuing to call for withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq on a fixed timetable, end quote. That was McCain, quoted by the Philadelphia Inquirer yesterday. Of course, that's not what McCain is saying, or what Obama is saying, but let's move on. New York Times, last week, McCain said, quote, an artificial timetable based on political expediency would have led to disaster and could still turn success into defeat. What is he talking about? On Tuesday, CBS interview, McCain said, so the fact is that we have succeeded. We are winning. They'll come home with honor, and it won't be just at a set timetable. All right. You get the point here. He keeps saying no timetable, no timetable, no timetable, no timetable, no timetable, no timetable. But in an interview today with CNN's Wolf Blitzer, McCain endorsed the idea of a timetable. When asked by Blitzer if Maliki would persist in requesting a 16-month withdrawal timetable from Iraq, McCain responded, oh, he won't. I know him. McCain then praised Maliki's 16-month timetable. He says, no, he's not going to persist. And then Blitzer says, so why do you think he said that 16 months is basically a pretty good timetable? McCain, well, he said it's a pretty good timetable based on conditions on the ground. I think it's a pretty good timetable, as we should, or horizons for withdrawal, but they have to be based on conditions on the ground. Maliki never said anything about conditions on the ground, nor did our other puppet over there, this guy I quoted last night, forget his name, who is also he's a former CIA operative, just in Bush's pocket. But even he is saying 16 months and out. So McCain is trying to make it sound as though, on the one hand, a timetable's bad. On the other hand, a timetable's good. This son of a bitch ought to go back to the meat counter in that grocery store, wherever he was, Pennsylvania, Ohio, whatever, and just, you know, buy himself some packets of bologna and sit there and eat them and just shut up. Jesus God, this guy. But the real pisser today was the Barack Obama Landstuhl Air Base Hospital story that these rug-chewing, curtain-climbing half-wits in the right-wing blogosphere, whether it's online, on radio, on television, in columns, I don't care where it is, every single one of these little snots trying to make an issue out of something where there's no issue. And, of course, most of the people, if not all the people, who unconsciously listen to these right-wingers have no clue. They don't know what the Department of Defense rules are about this. They don't have Oh, Barack Obama disrespected our troops. Did you hear about that, Joe? Huh? He wouldn't go see them. God damn, I ain't voting for him. Jesus. Yeah, I do hate all these right-wingers, and I would love to just pound every one of them just until they were senseless. Let me waterboard them. Ooh, wouldn't that be fun? And speaking of Republicans who are not truly are not worth the you know, a couple of sticks of dynamite necessary to blow them to hell. Did you check any of the hearings today? What were they called? Constitutional limits of executive power hearings? Is that what they were called? Conyers judiciary, did you watch any of it? I thought I was going to lose it, especially when the Republicans who were told to stay there by the Republican leadership and provide some kind of cover with their lies and deceptions, when they would open their mouths. And those two guys who were on the panel, they had a couple of right-wingers on the panel. The guy from Northwestern University, Northwestern has probably the best J school in the journalism school in the country. Some of those students 10 years ago were responsible for getting innocently convicted people who were sentenced to death row in Illinois, who were in fact innocent, getting them off of death row. And to have somebody like this, what was this guy? I don't care. Don't email me his name. Jeremy Rabkin, was that his name? And there was another one there, just scum, sitting there saying, you know, when they were asked directly, do you think he's done anything, Bush has done anything that warrants impeachment? No, it's just been policy differences. I don't see. My God. As our military affairs correspondent, Sharon Gordy, writes, the Republicans in that room were shameless. They were totally devoid of anything good, anything true. I don't think they could possibly have any redeeming qualities. They are amoral. And they seem to be outraged that anyone would even question King George and his actions. Who is this Representative Louis Gohmert? He's trying to blame 9/11 on Bill Clinton and the errors, quote, of the Iraq War on Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson. He did mention the fact that the people who attacked the World Trade Center in 1993 are in jail. He scoffed at Clinton for treating the attack on the World Trade Center back then as a law enforcement issue. What else would it have been, you dumb bastards? You see, Sharon writes, Republicans prefer to kill thousands of innocent civilians and American soldiers and spend trillions of taxpayer dollars trying to catch, you know, the terrorists. Oh, wait, they still haven't caught Osama bin Laden, have they? And I think, Sharon writes, it was Trent Franks, what a freak, who criticized the Clinton administration for saving Muslims and attacking Christians during the Bosnia and Kosovo conflict. And Sharon writes, I'm not sure what this had to do with the issues at hand. I've noticed that a lot of Republicans didn't really want to stop the Christians from murdering the Muslims in the Balkans in the 90s. Yeah. And then Sharon concludes, it was almost amusing to see these people attempt to justify impeaching Bill Clinton over oral sex. But, oh, no, there was no reason to impeach George Bush. He's not done anything wrong. The Republicans were saying the same thing they said during the Iran-Contra hearings. And that is, well, Democrats are just trying to criminalize policy disputes. Man. All right, we have a break here when we come back. I've got two pieces of sound for you. I think we'll do the Cindy McCain. Cindy, I'm sorry! Cindy Sheehan gets run out of the room by John Conyers. Instead of turning to that freak that was on Conyers' left, the right on your screen, and saying to him, shut your goddamn mouth before I have somebody... I'll call Malloy and have him come and beat your ass. But he didn't. We'll play it for you when we come back. Stay with us. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. What they believe, try to defy the indivisible, because they think we're fools. So foolable. I try not to laugh. The man is laughable. Boom time for Wall Street. They want you to believe the unbelievable. They say we should accept the unacceptable. The pious and the hip. So hypocritical.
primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. All right, at several points in today's Judiciary Committee, sort of almost but not really impeachment hearing, members of the audience erupted in applause, according to Raw Story, after one of the dozen-plus witnesses delivered a particularly incendiary indictment of President Bush. The committee's Republicans were none too amused by these displays, and they whined several times that such outbursts were inappropriate. Representative Lamar Smith, that's the guy that was to the right of your screen, to the chairman's left, Ashley. But he, Lamar Smith, Republican of Texas, the committee's ranking member, at one point asked John Conyers to clear the hearing room after one particularly rousing ovation from Code Pink activists. They were responding as author Vince Bugliosi outlined his case that the Justice Department should bring first-degree murder charges against Bush for illegally invading Iraq. Conyers decided not to boot the Code Pink people from the room, but he did remind the audience to refrain from any demonstrations. And less than an hour later, Bugliosi fired up the crowd again. He said, by taking this nation into a war on a lie, well, let's just play the clip for you here. You hear Cindy Sheen in the background say, thank you, Vince, after Bugliosi says what he says. And then Conyers gets all flustered and, well, here, let's just play it.
If George Bush honestly believed that Hussein was an imminent threat to the security of this country, which is the main reason he gave the American people for going to war, the thought of provoking Hussein into a war, by definition, would never, ever, ever have entered his mind. And I say this, that by taking this nation to war on a lie, all of the killings of American soldiers in Iraq became unlawful killings and therefore murder.
Thank you, Jim.
Professor. Okay, now I. Well, yeah, there are members urging me to take more action than merely reminding our audience, Professor Rabkin. Okay, then. All right, then. Sheehan, you're out. Yeah. Goodbye.
She said, I urge you to take action. She's, of course, one of the most visible activists pushing for impeachment. She lost her son in the Iraq War. Huh? Okay, then, Sheehan, you're out. She was already heading towards the door. I'm going, she said. Goodbye. Jesus, God. You know, it's to that point in this sorry country. It's to that point. The right-wingers dominate every form of media that's out there. And somebody who gave a son into Bush's death machine, Cindy Sheehan, who makes a simple statement, thank you, Vince, and she's ordered to leave, while the Republicans sitting on that committee, drenched in vomit and feces and blood, just drenched in it from all the people they have murdered, all the people they've made sick, all the people that they have decided are not worth a damn and ordered more death and more death and more death. They sit there and order out someone like Cindy Sheehan. The bastards. Oh, I get too caught up in all this. Panamaniac Music writes, Mike almost lost it when the congressman from Indiana talked to George Bush as a man of integrity. My only saving grace was when Vince Bugliosi pulled the scab back on the sore called Nadler and exposed how he changed his position on impeachment from oral sex bad, shredding the Constitution good. He's talking about Gerald Nadler, representative from New York, who thought it was a good thing to impeach Clinton, but not a good thing to impeach Bush. So Panamaniac Music says, am I the only one living in a parallel universe, Mike? Where do we go from here? Absolutely nowhere. You learn to live with it. It's not going to change. from Suzanne in North Miami. Mike, I can't write much because I'm in such a state of rage that the words just won't flow. I'm watching via the internet while at work Jeremy Rabkin. I'm watching him answer questions of the freak who is the Republican ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee. He, most of all, makes me want to throw myself in front of a bus or Bob Novak's Corvette. But it was John Conyers who really saddened me when he asked Cindy Sheehan to leave. Rudely, I might add. Sheehan, out! Goodbye. I guess he forgot when they were together in the basement of the Capitol building during the Downing Street memo hearings. Conyers is the loser here, along with all of us. It's done. There will be nothing done to the smirking chimp. He will swagger out of the White House and count his billions in his luck. What a country, Suzanne. Yeah, I know exactly how you feel. From Sandy in Portland, Mike, while listening to CNN radio this morning, I couldn't help notice the snarkiness and mocking tone that dripped from the announcer's voice while, quote, reporting, end quote, on today's House hearings. The announcer stated that the House would be taking up Radical Democrat Representative Dennis Kucinich's unpopular articles of impeachment, which other Democrats and Republicans do not support. Sorry I didn't catch this sorry sack's name, and I'm sure CNN's position is that they've done their patriotic duty by simply mentioning these so-called hearings. Sandy, Portland. Did you see any coverage of it on the news tonight? Somebody wrote and said it wasn't even on McNeil report. The Lehrer report. I don't know. The McNeil-Lehrer used to be. I don't know what it's called now. Nothing. Absolutely not. It didn't happen. It did not happen. If it's not on television, you see, for 70% of Americans, it did not happen. Nothing happened today. Absolutely nothing. Except that goddamn Barack Obama wouldn't go visit the wounded troops. Can you believe that? Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Yeah, in watching the bits of the hearing today that I watched, I was astonished at these Republicans. I mean, I don't expect anything from Republicans. They're real scum, and they need to be removed in any manner necessary. I mean, it's to that point if this republic is to survive. But to listen to what they had to say, sitting there defending the actions of this out-of-control freak and his crime family. It's very difficult to feel enraged and incredibly sad and depressed all at the same time to think that the country has gotten to the point where this kind of scum, not to mention the scum, the right-wing scum in media, have risen to these positions of power simply because America said, to hell with that. I'm not going to pay attention. I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to demand that the radio station get this garbage off the air. I'm not going to do any of that. You know, I got to go to work. Goodbye. I'll see you later. And thereby creating a vacuum. Everybody's got to go to work. Everybody's got kids to take care of. Everybody's got this to do and that to do. But when you create a vacuum, something, since nature abhors a vacuum, something is going to attempt to force its way into that vacuum. And the vacuum we created, the electoral vacuum, we just didn't care. Nah, I don't care. Nah, they're all the same. Don't want to do it. That was the whole Republican idea back in the day. Make them think we're all the same. That'll keep them home. And then we will take power. Jesus, God. Beth in Minneapolis writes, Mike, just want to let you know I wrote to Conyers regarding today's hearing. I called the Judiciary Committee office and was told that any news of what the next step would be, if there is a next step, will appear on the website next week. And that website is judiciary.house.gov. Or at Conyers' blog at johnconyers.com. I got so angry with the Republican liars that I called Representative Steve King and left a message correcting a lot of the misstatements he and others made during the hearing. The scum. If they were ever interested in the truth, I think I'd faint. Beth. Here's what she wrote. Dear Chairman Conyers, thank you so much for holding today's hearing on this administration. I was riveted to the testimony and watched all 6 hours of it. I hope and urge that this will lead to many additional hearings, including impeachment hearings. This administration must be held accountable for their actions. So many of us are anxious, depressed, have additional health problems, etc., because we live in what we perceive to be a renegade dictatorship where rules and laws are changed at the whim of the White House. Please insist on holding more hearings on this issue, Representative Conyers. Remember Nathan Hale, who regretted he had only one life to give to his country. Our founding fathers thought they might achieve nothing more than dangling at the end of the rope, and they went ahead anyway. God bless you and give you strength and courage to continue this task, Beth. Well, that's one way to approach it, Beth, and I certainly think that that's probably the more positive and one to get more results. My approach is that of a borderline crazy person, me, because I want to scream at Conyers, what are you doing? What are you doing? Beth's approach is better. I understand. But for me, you know, had I been in that hearing room, of course I would have been told to get out. Of course. Now, just let me share something with you. During the Nuremberg war trials that we and the French and the Germans and I'm sorry, the French and the English and I guess the Soviets, the Russians were involved too. But during those trials, the chief American prosecutor, Robert H. Jackson, said the following, quote, "To initiate a war of aggression, therefore, is not only an international crime, it is the supreme international crime, differing only from other war crimes in that it contains within itself the accumulated evil of the whole." Now, that was our guy. That was our guy. The chief prosecutor, that was our guy. That's what he said when we went after the Nazi high command. Now, apparently, George W. Bush agrees. Bush signed an executive order expanding, I think he signed it today, expanding sanctions against what he calls the illegitimate regime of Zimbabwe's President Mugabe and his supporters. And it is illegitimate. Mugabe is nothing but a mass killer. That's another one that should be taken to the nearest deep part of the ocean and kicked overboard. Bush said in the statement when he signed his order, quote, "No regime should ignore the will of its own people and calls from the international community without consequences," end quote. Okay. Ms. Pelosi, you heard what he said. What you gonna do? Hey, Harry Reid. Hey, John Conyers. Hey, Congress, what are you gonna do? George W. Bush said it. No regime should ignore the will of its own people and calls from the international community without consequences. So what is Conyers and Pelosi and Reid and the Democrats going to do? Nothing. Nothing. God damn them. Just damn them. But Clinton and Monica squeeze into a cloakroom and do each other. Oh! And then he lies about it and tries to obstruct justice about it. Oh, the Republic is one of the people who testified today. And I was just intrigued watching this twit. Bob Barr used to be a member of Congress here in Georgia in suburban Atlanta. Before that, he was a federal prosecutor. Now he's the running as a libertarian. I think he's the nominee for president of the Libertarian Party. He was invited to testify today because all of a sudden Bob Barr is really pro-constitutional and really thinks Bush has really broken the law. But it was Bob Barr back in the day, when was it, in 1999, 1998, who practically led the attack against Clinton when he was a member of the House.
Normandy, D-Day, the Earth is collapsing. Oh, rockets and missiles and bombs because Clinton lied. We have got to save the Republic. Oi, oi, oi.
And look at these people now. You got that Michael Savage thing ready to go? All right, let's do this. Last week, this pig, Savage, all his claims about autism is a fraud. 99% of the cases, he said, it's a brat who hasn't been told to cut out the act. Well, since he was caught on that, a Mississippi radio, a talk radio has dropped him. A big station in Cleveland dropped him, I think, today. WHK AM, the only Cleveland station carrying this pimp's talk show. Is saying no. Talk radio network that syndicates him said, now we're going to continue. We're just going to continue. We don't care. We don't care what he says. We don't like autistic children either. Screw him. We like the fact that Savage is a talk radio host for us and could have been one of the people who sent deformed children into the ovens at Auschwitz. We don't care. That's what he would say. He would say, well, you think you're deformed? Well, get into the oven. God, I hate these people. Well, this morning on the House floor, Representative Mike Doyle, Democrat of Pennsylvania, responded to Savage's comments. Here's what Representative Doyle had to say.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today to correct the misinformation about autism that shock jock Michael Savage spread on his syndicated radio show last week. Mr. Savage claimed that many diagnosed cases of autism were fraudulent and that, quote, in 99% of the cases, it's a brat who hasn't been told to cut out the act. They don't have a father around to tell them, don't act like a moron, unquote. Mr. Speaker, I've known a number of families dealing with autism over the years, and I can tell you unequivocally that none of the children with autism I've met fit that deplorable description. But don't take my word for it. There's been decades of peer-reviewed scientific research on autism, and the evidence is clear. Autism spectrum disorders are real, and they affect over 1 million Americans today. Mr. Speaker, I suggest if Mr. Savage wants to find someone acting like a moron, he should simply look in the mirror.
Yeah, well, I get you, Representative Doyle, and most sane people get you, but you have to understand that Savage appeals to an animalistic mindset that exists somewhere in that dark world between extreme right-wing Nazism and extreme right-wing totalitarian communism. That's where Savage loves to walk around in the nude. God, where do these people come from? What kind of union spawns this kind of filth, whether it's a Drudge or Limbaugh or Savage or Hannity? Where do they come from? What do they think they are doing? The program director at WHKAM said, regarding Savage, the guy's a knucklehead, and I want to get rid of him, so they dropped him. Why not every station in the country? What is wrong with you people? Talk radio network, you scum-sucking bastards, and you carry this guy, his statements about sick people, about children, about gays, about Muslims. What are you doing? What are you doing, talk radio? What are you doing?
Gonna change. I can feel it.
Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
Mm-hmm. It's about 22 past the hour. Last night, this is the, what do they call it, correction and addenda section of the program. Last night, we had a caller who said that when you go to apply for a mortgage loan now, you have to be fingerprinted. And he had gotten it from the Hartman program, email from Beth. Mike, Tom said today, that would be yesterday, that he was mistaken. The loan processors will be fingerprinted, not the applicants for mortgages, the loan processors. That's a good idea, right? I don't know. Whatever happened to the, you know, well, don't even ask the question, Malloy. You know damn good and well what happened. Also, if you go to NovaMradio.com, you will see down the left-hand side the directory. And about 9 inserts down, you see sponsor directory. Some of the companies that advertise on Nova M. And we have a new one. It is democracyinteractive.com. democracyinteractive.com. This is a message board. It's a live, what do you call that? I don't want to call it a chat room. What do you call it, Kathy? But the people who, a friend of ours over in Alabama, Daryl, created the site. And members of the site got together and raised money to advertise on Nova M. And, of course, most of the people at democracyinteractive.com are Nova M subscribers as well. But I want you to check it out, okay? This is called Supporting Your Advertisers. Just go to the sponsor directory on the Nova M radio homepage. Click on it, and you'll find democracyinteractive.com. And check them out. Go to the site. It's a very good site. Daryl is, made several suggestions for this program that we have taken over the past, oh, hell, I don't know what, Kathy, 3, 4, 5 years, 6 years, it's been a long time. And Daryl is usually right on the money when he makes a suggestion. I think it was Daryl that turned us on to the Siegelman case. I mean, really turned us on so we were able to connect with Don Siegelman's daughter and have her on the program. There have been several instances where Daryl, who runs democracyinteractive.com, really has added to this program. So check them out. They are now advertising on Nova M Radio. So check them out, if you would. And if you do that, just tell the gang over there that you appreciate the fact that they are now a sponsor.
And also, there's a new, for founding members, a new Malloy video up today.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, where I read the obscene email I get. Yeah, okay. All right, when we come back after this break, I'm going to play something for you. There was a hearing yesterday, Thursday, or Wednesday, I'm sorry, on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you know, gays in the military thing, which is how this became an issue. Well, we know how it became an issue. It was an issue back in the late 80s. Most civilized country, well, I don't know if they're civilized if they field an army, but okay, let's just avoid that for right now. Most civilized countries, all right, let me rephrase it, most Western democracies, how's that, that have a military, don't give a tinker's damn whether you're gay or straight. What they're interested in is, can you carry a weapon? Can you fight when the time comes? Are you willing to kill or die? Will you pull the trigger on an enemy? Will you drop a bomb? That kind of stuff. The kind of stuff that is war. Will you blow up the building? Will you kill this person? And they don't say, you're going to do all that? Okay, one last question. Are you hetero or homosexual? What's your sexual? They just don't do it. So the don't ask, don't tell thing is a joke. It's an absolute joke. The U.S. military continues to lose key members of parts of the military that are desperately needed because they happen to be gay. So I want you to hear this when we come back. An Iraq veteran, Congressman Patrick Murphy, talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You got to hear this. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
Yet I look for the light through the pouring rain. You know that's a game that I hate.
25 before the hour, we're going to play this tape. Jesus. This digital sound reproduction. In front of the House Armed Services Committee yesterday, one of these right-wing, self-hating females, Elaine Donnelly is her name. She's an anti-military extremist. And I want you to hear this. I don't know how to explain it, so we'll just play it for you. The hearing was conducted, or the guy you'll hear questioning her is... Congressman Patrick Murphy. He is an Iraq veteran. And fortunately, there are people like him who are willing to stand up for the military and for all the brave Americans who have served and maybe wish to serve. You may not want to. I may not want to because of how the military is misused and treated like dirt. But there are people in this country who still see it as an honorable form of service. And it's those people, I think, that we civilians have got to protect, because the members of Congress won't do it for the most part, although Patrick Murphy would. I mean, if you're a veteran, obviously, you're going to be interested in veterans affairs. But very few Republicans ever served in anything other than little hate groups or Young Republicans for Freedom or whatever. So anyway, listen to this. It runs about 5 minutes. The man talking is Patrick Murphy, member of Congress, and an Iraq vet. You'll also hear, I think he's a lieutenant, no, major general. He's got 2 stars, I think, retired, who at one time, when he was on active duty, as he worked his way up through the ranks, a gay man who kept it to himself. And another man who is also a veteran, I'm not sure of his rank, who is also gay, and you'll hear his testimony. Let's do this. It starts with Congressman Patrick Murphy, and the female voice you hear will be this anti-military extremist, Elaine Donnelly.
Thanks, Chairwoman. First, let me just say thank you to the panel for being here and your testimony today. I'll introduce myself. I'm Patrick Murphy. I'm a freshman. I was in the Army, and I was in the 82nd Airborne Division over in Iraq 5 years ago. Airborne, that's right, Sergeant Major. Ms. Donnelly, you testified that gays and lesbians cannot serve openly in the military because, and I quote, it will be detrimental to unit cohesion, end quote. In essence, you're basically asserting that straight men and women in our military aren't professional enough to serve openly with gay troops while successfully completing their military mission. You know, as a former Army officer, I can tell you I think that's an insult to me and to many of the soldiers. To answer your question, Mr. Jones, it was 24 countries that allow military personnel to serve openly without any detrimental impact on unit cohesion. Ms. Donnelly, can you please justify your position that American servicemen and women are less professional and less mission-capable than service members of other foreign militaries?
I respect all our men and women in the military. By the way, Dr. Snyder, Captain Michelle Jones,
it's actually
a friend
Patrick
of mine.
Murphy.
But I think I had to answer the other question because it wasn't put to me directly. I respect all the people in the military, and I think your question is not quite the essence of what we're talking about here. If we say that forced cohabitation is the new rule, and we're saying that if you don't like the way you feel, than just relax and enjoy it.
Oh, my God.
Or tolerate it. Is that fair?
Now, Ms. Donnelly, that's not actually the question. The question is that you're saying that you do not trust our military professionals to serve openly with other people that might not be heterosexual when 24 other countries do it. It has nothing about forced cohabitation.
In fact, we have segregated cohabitation.
You can, but I don't want you to mischaracterize what my question was, Ms. Donnelly, with all due respect.
You said professional, okay? Professional does not mean automaton. It doesn't mean that people are not human. People are human. People have sexual feelings. And they're not perfect. We know that in the armed forces, with all the wonderful men and women we have, we do have issues involving sexuality. Men and women have issues because they're not perfect.
Right, Ms. Donnelly, and that's why there's the UCMJ and Army regulations and Marine Corps regulations, because if there's misconduct, now, it's my time too. Now, if there is misconduct, then there are regulations to deal with that misconduct.
Yes.
But we're talking about orientation, not misconduct here. And that is the premise of my question to you, Ms. Donnelly, is that you're saying that our military, the greatest military in the world, one I was honored to serve with when I first put the uniform on back in 1993, is not as professional as 24 other countries because they can't understand what is right and what is wrong.
What would you say to Cynthia Yost, the woman who on a training exercise was assaulted by a group of lesbians?
I would say to her the same thing I say to every single man or woman that serves in the military.
Uh-huh.
You go to your superior officer and they will get prosecuted under Uniform Code of Military Justice.
Are you telling
That's exactly what I'll tell Ms. Yost.
Sergeant Alvin, she would be accused of.
You lost your leg in Iraq, and thank you for your service to our great country.
As well as you, sir. Thank you.
Can you please comment on my question about unit cohesion? Do you not think that a Marine can answer the call of duty if they're asked to by our nation?
Yes, sir. In fact, there was two fellow Marines on my convoy that day on March 21st. Losing my leg was an unimaginable tragedy that I would never have thought of. But on that convoy that day, and people who were aware of my orientation, no one stopped to prevent my life from going on. They did their job, that was which each and every man or woman is when we're going into Afghanistan or Iraq, and that's to take care of each other, accomplish the mission, and I was brought home because those Marines did their job. The unit cohesion was not broken. People did what they were supposed to do. They did their jobs.
General Coleman, you're a two-star general. You also got the Purple Heart in your service in Korea. When you joined our military, it was still segregated. It was desegregated, as you mentioned in your testimony. Sir, you testified that you felt like a second-class citizen. And could you expound on that? Do you think that in your role, and again, when you take that oath to support and defend the Constitution, it's not just for your time on active duty, it's for a lifetime of service to our country. Can you comment on unit cohesion and your feelings on what it would do with our military?
Yes, sir. Unit cohesion is a leadership issue. And that starts from a very lowest unit, the lowest level, and works all the way to the top. And there's a commitment by everyone. And you build teams through cohesion. And if you take one member away from that team, then you're breaking the cohesion, regardless of what the sex is or what color they might be. You are building a team, and that team live and work together.
You know, the thing that bothers me, in addition to the incredible stupidity around the bigotry directed toward gay people. The thing that bothers me, probably even more than the bigotry, is a question that I have. Where do people like Elaine Donnelly come from? Now, earlier tonight I asked, where do these right-wing freaks in talk radio and talk television and the blogosphere, where do they come from? What is their objective? Is their objective to destroy this country? Because that's what they seem to be doing. They're supporting the destruction of our Republican, small r, form of government and advocating the replacement of that Democratic Republic with something that is very similar to either a royal family or to totalitarianism. And by the same token, I wonder, where do people come from, like Elaine Donnelly, whose voice you heard, who decide at some point to dedicate their lives to damaging the lives of other people because of their sexual orientation? Where does that come from? How, in other words, to make it real simple, what produces an anti-gay bigot who is willing to dedicate his or her life to that bigotry? Now, I understand the religious fanatic jerkballs who do this, because they can always say, well, it says in Leviticus, you know, you people can go stand in the corner until a monster comes along, rips your heads off. Goodbye, you're out of here. But other than the religious freaks, now, I don't know, maybe Elaine Donnelly is some kind of a religious freak. I wouldn't be surprised. It seems like the cesspool of religion just spews so many of these people out onto the national stage, whether it's on television or in these hearings or in politics. It's just crazy, just crazy. But I've always wondered, and I've never gotten a good answer, because I've never walked up to one of these bigoted jerkwads and said something like, hey, it's very obvious you're dedicating your life to your hatred of gays. Why? Well, I mean, what is the payoff? What's the reward? What are you getting out of this? Do you think Jesus will love you more? Do you think your priest will love you more? Watch out for him, by the way. What is it that you're getting out of this that rewards you for testifying before Congress or picketing or denouncing people from the pulpit or taking out ads? What is the payoff? What do you get when your single-minded bigotry becomes this encompassing that your entire life is focused on stopping the gay agenda? What do you get? What do these people get? And I've never gotten an answer. Nothing worth having comes without some kind of fight. Gotta kick in the darkness till it bleeds daylight. Lovers in a dangerous time. Lovers in a dangerous time.
Americans learn to speak a language, learn to speak Arabic. Those in the Arabic regional say, gosh, America's interested in us. They care enough to learn how we speak.
Yeah, unless they're gay, right? They care enough about us to learn the way we speak. Jesus, God. Ah, well. All right, what else we got? This is from Dave. Mike, I listen to you every evening, and I enjoy listening to you. You vent for all of us that are frustrated. Having said that, I wish you would remind some of us out there that insist on disowning Obama when he doesn't pull the absolute progressive line that change can only be made when you're in a position of power. The first goal should be to gain power. And if that requires making a few concessions, well, so be it. Now, that doesn't mean that these progressives that get elected should have carte blanche once they get into office. Quite the opposite. We should be pushing even harder once they're elected. I just think that we might be expecting too much after 30-plus years of conservative influence. Additionally, I'd hate to see us throw the baby out with the bathwater because of pushing too hard and alienating the general public. Realistically speaking, politicians are a lot like suits. There are certain times when we expect a perfect fit in an off-the-rack world. Just my two cents and keeping the faith, Dave, and his last name. Okay, so in other words, back off of Obama. I know there. If you're an Obama supporter, if you're a Democrat, if you want to see the Republican Party butchered, cut into little pieces, and packaged and dropped in a deepest part of the ocean somewhere, I can understand that. Barack Obama may be able to pull it off in the down-ticket voting and just absolutely cripple the Republican Party to the point where it can no longer screw with America for maybe another 30 or 40 years. The The American people had the sense to keep these bastards out of power for a long time. What was it, 40 years until 1994? And then they were tricked. They were tricked by Reagan and tricked by Gingrich and tricked by right-wing talk radio. They were tricked. They had their brains scrubbed and washed and fluff-dried. And as a result, we've had this garbage since 1994. So the point of, you know, letting Obama be Obama with the hope that once he gets into office and pulls in a veto-proof House and Senate, then the progressive agenda can be put into place again and these rat bastard Republicans can go where they're supposed to go, and that's back under the rocks and into the woodwork where they came from. I get your point. I just don't know if I can... you know, completely not criticize Barack Obama when he does things that, in my opinion, deserves criticism. You know, endorsing this FISA Act, which is worse than anything we've had on the books since the Frank Church hearings back in 76, 74, 5, 6. That's difficult for me to do, but I get your point. For people who think that the Bush crime family will get away completely with the crimes against humanity, the war crimes, the murder and mayhem they've caused, this caught my eye today. It was in the Times. A court in Argentina has sentenced a notorious former military leader to life in prison for atrocities committed in the 70s at a clandestine torture center used by the military dictatorship, where only 17 of more than 2,200 political prisoners survived. Luciano Benjamin Menendez, former commander of the Regional Third Army Corps in Cordoba during the military dictatorship, oversaw the kidnapping, torture, and murder of those who protested against the military government that lasted from 76 to 83. The atrocities occurred at La Perla Detention Center in Cordoba, the biggest in the province at the time. After a trial lasting almost 2 months, the court on Thursday also sentenced six other former military officers and one civilian for crimes committed during the military regime. Mr. Menendez, 81 now, was stone-faced and silent as the televised verdict was read to loud cheers inside and outside the courtroom, where hundreds of people waved flags and placards commemorating the victims. The daughter of one of the victims said, "Today justice was done." The convictions on Thursday were the latest of so-called dirty war suspects to be judged by Argentine courts. Some 13,000 people were killed during the dictatorship, according to official figures, although human rights groups say the figure is closer to 30,000. The Supreme Court in 2005 struck down amnesty laws from the 80s that had protected former military officials who served during the dictatorship. Prosecutors said that the four of the people involved in this case were taken to La Perla, which was run by the Third Army Corps, and killed the next month. Their bodies were dumped in the street to make it appear they had been killed in an exchange of gunfire with the military. And the story goes on about how they were tortured. But I just am not going to read that over the air. So, you know, this is stuff that occurred back in the 70s. And laws were passed in the 80s to protect these murderers. So the time may come when the Bush crime family high command will no longer be able to escape justice in this country. I don't know. I don't think that justice is going to be applied during the Obama presidency. Maybe it will. Maybe it will. And maybe it'll have to come from an outside court that issues a warrant for one of these monsters like Karl Rove or David Addington or John Negroponte or John Poindexter. I mean, the list is endless. And snatch them when they're outside the country and extradite them to some place where there are war crimes trials. Maybe it'll take that. On the other hand, maybe we eventually will get enlightened leadership who understand that this cancerous Republican Party has got to be annihilated, and the people who have committed these crimes have got to be brought to justice. Your phone calls when we come back. This is the Molloy Program on Nova M Radio.
story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon me now.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. The Molloy Program on Nova M Radio. The phone number here. We have two open lines. Phone number is 800-989-1480. So come on, it's Friday night. There's only 50 minutes left of the program. Don't make me work. Call in. Kristen, who's a PhD and a licensed professional counselor in Michigan, in answering the question about where do these homophobes, these gay-hating people come from who devote their entire lives to such a twisted, sick activity of just pursuing for no reason. I mean, what would happen if gay folk would start pursuing heterosexuals to the extent, like the woman in this, sound clip that we played for you? I mean, this is, it's insane. Just invert it. Turn it around.
Well, Your Honor, that guy's a heterosexual, and he's dangerous because, see, I have a daughter, and he may try to do my daughter.
I mean, it's bizarre. Anyway, Kristen writes, Mike, the anti-gay non-religious bigots are enacting a psychological term called projection. You take what you don't like about yourself, you see it in someone else, and you hate them for it. In other words, their anti-gay actions, like testifying before Congress, are ways of controlling their own sexual desires. So long as they can keep gay people in line, they can keep their own sexual desires in check. That's the short version of it. Well, I'm familiar with projection, but I would assume what you mean, Kristen, is that not necessarily people with homosexual tendencies, but people with heterosexual tendencies that may be frowned upon by their cohort, whether it's religious or maybe they're married, and they want sex other than, it could be heterosexual sex, that with someone other than their committed significant other, that whether that's her husband or boyfriend or whatever it is, or they may desire all sorts of fun times in a sexual atmosphere, but they're afraid to because their church or their religion or their parents have told them it's all nasty, bad, don't touch yourself down there. So I'm assuming you mean projection of sexual desire, not necessarily, sexual desire, period. Not hetero or homo, just sexual desire. So in order to sublimate that, in order to hide it, they project their contempt for someone else's sexuality, whether they're gay or straight. That would make sense to me, yeah.
Can you imagine any other branch of the federal government getting away with, any other segment of the federal government getting away with banning homosexuals? Can you imagine if just, I just take something, for example, if the
Department of the Interior.
The Department of the Interior said, nope, we don't want any gays hanging around up here talking about their gay stuff. I mean, can you imagine anybody, housing and human development, or housing and urban development, I should say?
Well, the non-rational rationale is that when one is in the military, unit cohesion is key to everything, because when people are in combat, they're not fighting for mom or dad or the flag or apple pie. They're fighting for their squad. They're fighting for their buddy, whether the buddy is male or female. They're fighting in order to stay alive. And staying alive means taking care of yourself and the person that you're with. And what the homophobes say is that if you have a gay trooper and a straight trooper, that somehow that's going to cause a problem. That while they're fighting for their lives, at some point, the straight guy will turn to the gay guy and say, are you queer? And the gay guy says, listen, we're both in deep doo-doo here, so yeah, the answer is yeah. And the straight guy will then say, oh no, and run screaming away into withering fire from the enemy because his partner, his part of his team, says he's gay. That is sick. That obviously is from people who don't understand cohesion in anything. especially not unit cohesion where it concerns the military or it concerns the combat situation. You know, that joke about, you know, a guy's in the foxhole and fire is being laid down by the enemy and somebody jumps into the foxhole with him and you know, they're all hugging the ground for dear life. And the guy that was in the foxhole first says, "Are you gay or straight?" And the guy that just jumped in says, "I'm gay." And the guy that was in there first says, "Oh, well, I can't be here," and jumps up and runs away. And of course gets shot deader than hell. That's craziness. It's craziness. That's what these homophobic bigots want everyone to believe, is that for some reason. Oh, and the other thing, of course, is, oh, well, they have to shower together. Oh, my goodness sakes. I've never seen a male wee-wee before. I've never seen the penis. If I see the penis, I'm going to freak if it's part of the anatomy of a gay man, because the gay man's penis is a lethal weapon or something like that, right?
Well, couldn't the same cretins pose the same cretinous argument about serving as a firefighter or a paramedic or a police officer? Couldn't they say, well, you can't have gay firefighters because they could, you know, what if one of them
you would think by extension into this crazy realm of homophobia, you would think, yes, that's probably the case. But, you know, let's face it, without being patronizing here, you know, combat is a whole different situation from being an EMS or a firefighter or now a cop. You know, I just wonder sometimes about the SWAT teams that have been so militarized in the age of Bush. You know, if those guys, you know, here they go, seven of them, you've seen them on television all the time, some poor bastard's in a house threatening to blow his own brains out, and here come seven guys that look like they just stepped off a Starfleet fighter spaceship. And, you know, they have each one. The guy in front has some sort of massive blow everything away for 10 blocks weapon. And the seven guys behind him all have one of their hands on the shoulder of the man in front, the other hand holding the weapon. And you think to yourself, Jesus, what if the guy in the middle there is queer? Will the whole line collapse? I mean, it's crazy.
Well, thank God the village people never followed these rules.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Your phone call, starting with Satya in Seattle, listening via the internet. Satya, is that the way you say it?
Yeah, Satya. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I don't know if you remember me. I called in a while back. I'm the one who was stupid enough to enlist in the Marines early entry when I was 17.
That's right. I do remember talking to you. How are you?
I'm doing really good. I'm 43 now and past those 2 days.
From 17 to 43, and all you did was turn around twice and blink, right?
Right.
Boom. I hear you.
So I was wondering, I don't know if you remember when I called, I was explaining how at that time I had to fill out the application and they asked whether or not you've had sexual relation with the person of the same sex.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Nowadays they're not allowed to ask that. But it just cracks me up. At the time, I was, and I'm still bisexual, so I had to lie in order to be accepted.
Right.
But it just cracks me up whenever I hear people using the homophobic fear of being raped by another gay person.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, in reality, it goes so much in the other direction. With my situation, I was 17, there were like 400 people on our base, and only three women, and I was, it was actually the commanding officer who just kept calling me, sending notes for me to come down to his office and did the run around the desk routine and just kept chasing me and chasing me all around. And like everyone knew what was going on, and it was really, just got to the point where it was really embarrassing. And I just quit. And he knew that he would get in trouble if it was investigated or anything, so
Right. They
just called me a couple of times, and then they just let it go. I didn't get into any trouble at all.
Well, the point, too, I think you're making, and our military affairs correspondent who sent me this that bit of tape, or that bit of digitally reproduced sound, I don't know why I keep calling it tape, as Sharon pointed out, the sexual assaults that occur in the military are so-called heterosexual. They're male on female, and they are violent. They are vicious. There have been women veterans who have almost been driven to the brink of suicide because when they are sexually assaulted by their male counterparts, there's no one they can go to. The attitude being, I'm going to use some bad words here. The attitude being, look, bitch, you joined the military, so shut your goddamn mouth. If you don't like what's happening to you, then resign, especially if you're an officer. And that's the attitude that is put on women who in a civilian setting would be able to have somebody arrested and sent to prison. But if the Uniform Code of Military Justice were applied, the same thing would occur, but it's not, because you're a female. What are you doing in this man's army? So, yeah, it's...
So, if you extend the logic, if it's gays shouldn't be allowed because they can't control their sexuality, and if you look at the reality, then men should not be allowed in the military.
Bingo!
So we can have a military of all women.
That's right. Satya, I got to leave you there. Thank you, dear. Stay in touch. Stay in touch. Don't wait all that time to call in again. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Oh, I believe I'll die.
Washington, we're now determining the size and the shape of a package. It's not if we have a package, it's how big will the package be.
I wonder if he knows what he's saying. 22, almost 23 past the hour. Eleanor writes in regarding the idea that the homophobes are involved in projection, projecting their own weirdness onto someone else. Eleanor writes, projection? Why is this conversation so difficult and so complicated, so Freudian? How about just because they're sick and nuts, huh? Remember Anita Bryant? I don't think Anita Bryant came about because of an overdose in orange juice. I'm tired of the made-up complication about some of these things. Best answer, because they're sick and nuts! Eleanor. Well, yeah, you're absolutely right, Eleanor. They're sick and nuts, but that's what the projection is. I mean, the fact that they do project defines them as being sick and nuts. But the projection term from our the PhD person who wrote in, that's true too. But no, I understand what you mean. You and I, Eleanor, do not have PhDs. We do not really subscribe to the DSM-4. That's the Diagnostic and Statistical, is it Statistical Manual, Kathy, DSM? Fourth edition, where damn near everything now is treatable and diagnosable. You and I, Eleanor, are more of the street kind that say, just beat their asses! The Republicans. But that's what the sick part is, the fact that they project. Oh, I'm getting luxury now. I'm sorry. All right, back to the phone calls. Perez is calling from Santa Rosa, California, listening on the Internet. Hey, Perez.
Hey, Mike. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
I know. Where you been?
Oh, I've been swirling around, but I haven't gone down the drain yet.
Good. Well, just, grab hold of something.
Well, I'm telling you crack me up. I tell you, I laugh my ass off, and you make me almost cry too, and that's okay, man. It's all of a bunch there.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm going to try to narrowly focus my remarks.
Okay.
I don't want to have anybody scold me, but I would just say that I joined the Marine Corps when I was 17, and I was kind of ignorant myself,
mm-hmm.
And I had to get out of somewhere, and I joined, but
sure.
The thing about rape and everything, it's all about power and control, just like it always is.
Sure.
They have the power, and as far as the homophobes go, they're just fearful little people. They're small people that are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
That's the basic thing.
Well, that's what I've always noticed. I've never met a really, to use the vernacular, a really manly man who was a homophobe. I haven't. Most men that I've known who are secure in their own sexuality either don't care about someone else's sexuality or If they know that some of their friends, the male friends, happen to be gay, it doesn't mean anything. It just means nothing. You know, nothing.
Yeah.
And the same applies to the womenly women that I have known. They don't give a damn if their best girlfriend happens to be a lesbian. So what? Who cares?
Yeah, I'm a nurse, and I wear sometimes female tops, scrub tops, because it's hard to find male stuff, or unisex, as they call it.
Oh, no!
And I'll get comments, and I'll wear pink shirts, too, and stuff, and I say, well, I'm not too worried about it. If you are, then I guess that's your problem, you know?
Well, that's been my experience, that people who are secure in their own sexuality are not... not concerned about other people's sexuality.
Exactly. And when somebody tells me and they push their way toward me and they tell me I'm homosexual, and, you know, it's like if I would say, well, I'm heterosexual, you got a problem with that? Like it's not my entire reason for existence. Okay?
Right.
But the reason I called was about Obama. He was foisted on us, and he's going to be better than a lot of things, and I think... we're so thirsty for anybody that will do anything decent that I think we're just stuck with him, and I'm not worried about it too much. You know, there's not a whole hell of a lot we can do about it anyway, right?
Well, the pressure has got to be applied when he does get elected. The pressure has got to be applied to Congress. You know, we elect members of Congress every 2 years, and members of the House every 2 years, and I think those people ought to be really leaned on if they are not progressive Democrats. Find a progressive Democrat to run against them and remove them and put in the progressive Democrat. Because, you know, we talked about this the other night. The President of the United States really doesn't have all that much power. Hold on a second, Pres. We're coming up too fast on this break. Hold on. Let me just do this. We'll come back and finish up the conversation. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
What do I do when my love is away?
Doesn't worry you to be alone.
No. How do I feel at the end of the day?
Are you sad 'cause you're on your own?
I tell you, don't you say it no more.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Yeah, he is. We were talking with Perez in Santa Rosa before the break. All right, where did we wind up before I did
Well,
put you on
we
hold?
Were talking about Obama.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's where we got to.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike. I just wanted to say also that I was saying concentrating on Congress, but these so-called executive power, unquote, hearings, I think they're just a sop to us. Pelosi's doing her best to try to drum up support, you know, like they always do right before the election. All of a sudden, they're Democrats again.
Well, this is a mistake then, because this is like waving a hamburger under the nose of a starving meat eater.
Steak three times a day. Exactly.
Yeah, you don't do this. If Pelosi is worried about her seat, worried about whether or not Cindy Sheehan is going to defeat her in some primary coming up, then the thing to do is not bring up these little tantalizing bits that look a little bit like preliminary hearings working towards impeachment. What Pelosi should do is just, you know, not just take impeachment off the table, but take any discussion of it off the table. So this may backfire if that's the plan.
I agree. Yeah. I think you're exactly right. That was going to be my point, too. I think they may have opened the door just a little bit, and they can't just shut it again, can they?
No, I wouldn't think. But
and Conyers' treatment of Sheehan, okay, Sheehan, you're out of here. I mean, that was just, I tell you, he's a bit past it, as the English say. Perhaps more than a bit past it. You know,
I admire him.
Now go home and find another job, John.
That's true. Also, monumental arrogance.
He
was deferring to the freak to his left, which would be our right as we're watching on the screen. He was deferring to the freak who insisted that any so-called outbursts, like applauding the fact that people were speaking the truth in a congressional hearing, the truth is being spelled. Oh, my God.
Well, you know who that was? Wasn't that Lamar Smith?
I think it was.
Well,
yeah.
He's one of the main people that was screaming about rule of law. during the Clinton impeachment.
Oh, sure.
I want somebody to trumpet that.
Oh, sure, sure.
You know, Kay Bailey Hutchison and all those scumbags.
Sure. Well, so was Bob Barr, who was one of the people testifying today.
But he did more good for us than I think that he did for the other side, though, today. I hate to say it, but I think he did.
Well, I think he did, too. But, you know. But once again, just the juxtaposition of Bob Barr vis-a-vis this particular situation. Oh, my God. You know, it makes
Talk
you dizzy.
About strange bedfellows, for God's sake.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
I want to say something about, please don't badmouth Harry Reid. Do you know what important work he's doing right now, Mike?
No, I don't.
He's talking about these criminal polygamist families. We've got to stomp them out, Mike.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're probably all right, Perez. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. Don't be a stranger. Don't stay away forever. Chuck is calling from North Carolina, listening on the internet. Hey, Chuck.
Hi there.
How you doing? Where at in North Carolina?
Near Fayetteville, Fort Bragg. I've talked to you a couple times before.
Oh, yes, sir. I know. This is Chuck with the
Quakers.
Quaker House, right?
Yeah. I got the.
By the way, I still get your newsletter, and I enjoy getting it. Thank you very much.
All right. Tell everybody they should write me a subscribe.
All right. Well, say it. What's your website? How do people subscribe?
Quakerhouse.org.
Quakerhouse.org.
That's it.
And that's all it takes.
And just tell us they want to be on. They'll have to give us an address.
It's a good newsletter, folks. You ought to get it. It's not long. Uh-huh. It's usually, what, 4 pages?
Yep.
That's about it. So get this. Subscribe
to
it.
Well, I appreciate it. One reason it's good is because we got lots of material here. The reason I called, you were talking about the Argentina stuff and how people were kind of getting caught up with. Well, I had a chance to go visit Europe this spring to talk with groups over there about torture. And the reason they asked me to do it is because it turns out that these rendition flights and stuff, most of them take off from near here in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been working on this torture stuff. And one of the things I learned over there was that the Spanish judge who issued the warrant that got Augusto Pinochet arrested in London, if you remember that.
Yes, I do.
Which happened 10 years after he left power in Chile.
Mm-hmm.
That same judge is still in office in Spain, and he has said he is on the trail of you-know-who. And I've heard from Scott Horton and international human rights lawyer that there are other such cases being prepared, and these cases, they have the law, the international laws against torture, they have universal jurisdiction and no statute of limitations. And when I was in Europe, I got to talk with a guy named Dick Marty, who's the Swiss equivalent of a U.S. senator. Mm-hmm. He was the chief investigator for the Council of Europe into the complicity of European governments with these torture flights, which the complicity is massive, and he really did fantabulous investigative work and reports, and I wanted to talk with him about what were the prospects for holding these people accountable, and he basically said it's going to take a long time. He said determination and patience, and I'm not so confident that Obama would be the one to do it, but you know what he might do? He might just get out of the way. Because there are going to be people lining up, I think, starting from outside the country to apply these international laws. And when Bush and company try to pardon everybody, including themselves, they can do that, but those pardons don't apply outside our borders. And
that's true.
I could see investigations and prosecutions starting overseas, which could shame our spineless Congress into actually beginning to do something.
If they could be shamed, another.
Well, I grant you that's a stretch.
Yeah, another point to consider, and I don't think the American people have considered this. Certainly, the Congress hasn't. Bush can't. It's my understanding. I hope I got this right. Bush can't issue pardons if an impeachment hearing has begun. In other words, if a hearing to decide whether or not to indict him for high crimes and misdemeanors has begun, then his prerogative of granting pardons comes to a screeching halt. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but a couple of people have emailed me and told me that that's the case. The second thing is that he cannot pardon himself. So that that tosses the ball to Barack Obama. Now, if Barack Obama, when he's elected president, does a Gerald Ford and issues a blanket, as Ford issued a blanket pardon on Nixon, even though Nixon hadn't been in, hadn't been impeached.
Right.
All they did was say, we are ready to impeach you. And he decided, whoops, time for me to leave town. So the pardon of Nixon was so far out of line, it was just unbelievable. If Obama does that with George W. Bush, then I think it's pretty clear who is controlling, really, who is controlling this country.
Yeah, it'll be a serious struggle because the secret government, the whatever you call it, the folks who run the CIA and this, what I call the torture industrial complex,
these folks play
for keeps, you know, and this is very serious business. The Germans have actually indicted pilots who live in right here in North Carolina, the ones who kidnapped this German fellow, Khaled El-Masri, and took him to Afghanistan. He was totally innocent. Mm-hmm. It was complete mistaken identity. And the current gang of crooks has stonewalled those indictments. And who knows, maybe, okay, call me a dreamer, maybe a new administration could just get out of their way.
Well, that's the thing. If Obama will do everything by doing nothing,
that could be a lot. It really could.
That's right. That's all he needs to do. All he need do is just do nothing. If he doesn't want to clean this cancer out of the guts of America, if he doesn't want to do that, then just please, President Obama, step out of the way.
Yep. Well, listen, it's great to talk to you, and I appreciate the plug you gave for Quakerhouse.org.
Quakerhouse.org. I hope people will go to that site. Even if they don't subscribe, and I wish people would, because it's
by the way,
expensive.
It doesn't cost any money to subscribe.
Right. Well, that was the thing I was going to say. But just go to the site and see what Chuck has. Information comes out in his newsletter that I think anyone who is concerned about what's going on should know. Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate it, man. All right.
Good to talk to you.
Okay, take care. Quakerhouse.org. Just do it, okay? Come on, it's Friday night. Just do it. Don't make me beg. I will, but, you know. Kelly is calling from Texas, also listening on the Internet. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
Listen, I was just calling to express extreme disappointment and frustration at John Conyers. I used to really respect the guy. You know, Rosa Parks used to work at his office and everything, and I thought he was a great American congressman.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea of just the non-impeachment hearings they held today and all the restrictions they put on it as far as not even being able to say the word impeachment and that kind of thing, or imply that there were lies and that kind of thing is an affront to Americans. It just amazes me. I mean, they never cease to amaze me how spineless they can become, this Congress, this Democratic Congress. And I'm just perplexed.
I understand what you're saying. I really do. I don't quite understand, though, what the point is of this Conyers hearing today. I think it's unprecedented. I don't think there's ever been a hearing like this, where the crimes, the high crimes and misdemeanors, are being of a president and administration are being discussed, and yet it's a foregone conclusion that no effort to follow the Constitution where it concerns impeachment is going to follow. The hearing. If that's the case, what's the point?
Well, I think, you know, because Pelosi's been hammered so much, I know. She's been hammered repeatedly about this nonsense of impeachment off the table, you know, and of course Cindy Sheehan's running against her, you know, partly because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's really just gotten the heat. She thinks she can give a token, throw a crumb to people and say, see, we tried to do something, and maybe take a little bit of the heat off of her, and it's just ridiculous. It's a token gesture that she's trying to maybe stave off any possible backlash and possibly.
Well, I hope it doesn't work. I hope it doesn't work. Kelly, thanks, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Take care. Break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Jefferson, and it makes me want to cry to think. picked up the chair and sat in someone goodbye. George wears his faith like a money belt, but I'll pray to Mad Time instead. Please come back, Tom, and save us from King George again and his friends.
About 9 minutes before the hour. Thanks to the crew this week and tonight: Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Birch, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Sharon Gordy, and Catherine Bay for their efforts in the program this week. Here's an email from Danielle. The subject line is homophobes. Hi, Mike. I'll tell you who these homophobes are. They're my parents. I'm 61 and was raised in an insulated, upper-middle-class, Catholic, Republican enclave in the Great Northwest, where anyone who had the misfortune of croaking while in a state of mortal sin, you know, eating meat on Friday, missing Mass on Sunday, is now frying in eternal hellfire. Here's how it goes. Protestants and those born and raised without benefit of baptism are to be pitied because they're going to hell. You can't play with them. Homosexuals, on the other hand, are perverts whose mission in life is to destroy the, quote, church, end quote, and corrupt humanity. You not only can't play with them, you must try to incarcerate them prior to their trip to hell. I left home at 16 because I had extraordinary good luck to run into a group of enlightened Berkeley types who painstakingly and patiently rehabilitated me. Can you imagine my parents' reaction when I told them my daughter, their adored one and only granddaughter, was gay? Well, that was years and years ago, and it was the thing that changed them. It was a long, slow process, but that's what it took. They're both long gone, and sometimes when I think about them and myself as a child, I'm mystified. They weren't evil people, but they were ignorant. Well-bred, well-educated, articulate, unshakably homophobic pillars of society. Do you suppose they went to heaven? Danielle. That's a question for a theologian, Danielle, but great email. Thank you. Oh, yeah, by the way, if for the folks who really, 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 really care, the new weekly video of your humble and obedient servant is now up at novamradio.com in the members section of, what is it, videos? Videos, is, yeah, okay. That's the, we do this every week, uncensored reading of emails that I get from the real knuckle-draggers out there. I mean the people that are so... they're the kind of people you want to say, here, look, I know you're trying to commit suicide. Do you want my gun? Would you like me to open the bottle of pills? Here, relieve your agony. But rather than do that, we just read their emails on the air. So on the video. So check it out. Mike Malloy, I'm sorry, NovaMradio.com. Go to the members section, the NovaM founding members section, and click on the videos. And this one is dated the 24th of July, all right? Stephen is calling from South Carolina, listening on the Internet. Hey, Stephen.
Hello, Mike and Kathy.
Kathy is nodding her head vigorously. Be careful, Kathy. Don't.
Great music, great bumpers. I tell you, when you can start out a segment with Village People and end it with Joe Cocker, lady, you're on it.
Yeah, she's good. Kathy's good.
I tell you, I'm a retired Army sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
Joined in 75, retired in 95, Desert Storm vet. I got cred, you know.
Yeah, been there, done that. Okay, yeah. I hear you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ticket punch. My very first unit, we had an out lesbian in the unit with a contract marriage with one of the guys.
With what?
She had a contract marriage with one of the male members of
the... Oh, okay, gotcha.
So that they could get housing allowance and were not forced to live in the dormitory.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't a big deal.
Right.
Everybody knew about it, including the CO.
And this is back in the 70s, right?
That was 76.
Yeah, well, it was a different era back then. That was before this whole idea of gay, not gay, became such a wedge issue for the Republican Party, and it infected the military. I've got friends who are my age who served in the military. Some of them are Vietnam combat veterans. Some of them were in the Vietnam era veterans. And they say the same thing. Back in the 60s, nobody gave a damn. The only concern in the 60s, especially if you were in Vietnam, is can you handle a weapon? I don't give a goddamn who you sleep with. Can you handle a weapon?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was the only thing.
Yes, sir, three bags full. You know, can you carry your weight?
Can you do what the United States government spent thousands of dollars training you to do? Steven, I got to leave it there. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. No, you're not supposed to say sir to a sergeant. Thank you, Sergeant. I appreciate it. Can you do what the United States military trained you to do, boy? Then shut up and pick up that weapon. I'll see you Monday, folks. Take it easy. Have a great weekend. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. And have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney. Wherever you are.
I'm going straight.